Richard Wrangham is our guest on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are with him at Emory University in Atlanta, but we were not talking about Emory University in Atlanta. We were talking about two species that hunt and kill in across boundaries. Your turn.
Chimpanzees and humans. Now, it's not true that these are the only mammals in which you get hunting and killing across boundaries. The thing that's special about us is that it's the males that do it.
Ah.
But there are other species of mammals, it turns out, that have very similar behavior, and perhaps the best known is wolves.
Mm-hmm. You know,
wolves are the ancient progenitors of dogs, right? And mm-hmm. dogs are lovely animals. David Meach, in his studies from Denali in Alaska, has got estimates of between 39 and 65% of all adults die from being killed by other adults.
Among wolves?
Among wolves. And wolves are now studied well in Michigan, Minnesota, and Alaska. And in all of them, you get a high proportion of adults dying from being killed. Who is killing them? It's the neighbors. Where are the kills happening? Mostly they're happening at the borders. But in addition, you sometimes get these raids into the neighboring area. And in one case, for example, out of five or six members of a pack, three were known to be killed by the neighbors, and then the rest ran off, and then a group from the neighbors went in and took over that den. So this looks like it's a kind of expansionist territoriality.
Colonialist.
Colonialist. Imperialist.
Indeed.
Exactly.
And it was both male and female.
But exactly. The point is that they are monogamous. They have one male and one female who breed together, and then the other adults are non-breeding helpers who are fully adult but are kind of waiting their turn if they manage to get a chance to breed before they're killed. Hmm. So it's not that there aren't any other animals that have this kind of lethal raiding aspect. But the fact that it's only humans and chimpanzees that have this particular mix out of whatever it is, 4,000 or 5,000 species of mammals, sure hits you in the gut and says, something special is going on. And then you think about the fact that chimpanzees and humans had a common ancestor at around 6 million years ago. And then you think, what did that common ancestor look like? And all the evidence is pointing towards something extremely like a chimp. In fact, you can make the argument that chimps are such a conservative species that if you had found that species 6 million years ago, and if you put it into a zoo today, you would call it a chimpanzee.
The American Museum of Natural History has Lucy on display.
And the skeleton of Lucy that is said to be
3.5 million, more or less.
Yeah, 3.8, something like that, yes.
Found in Africa.
That looks, I would assume, strikingly like a chimpanzee.
Well, but nothing like as similar to a chimpanzee as what I'm talking about.
But that's 2.5 million deers different from what you're talking about, though, isn't it?
Exactly.
So you're saying that chimpanzees now and then, this is the term I've not heard before, a conservative species, that they haven't changed very much.
Right, right. And the reason for thinking this is the comparison with gorillas.
Mm.
Because, gorillas and chimpanzees are both big, black, hairy things that walk on their knuckles and have got great big jaws, and they like to eat fruits, but when they can't find fruits, they'll put up with eating some leaves. And if you play games with the sizes and shapes of their bones or their bodies, essentially what you find is that a gorilla is a big version of a chimpanzee.
Hmm.
If you kind of mentally do an experiment in which you prolong the life of a chimpanzee and keep it growing to the point mm-hmm. it's a gorilla, it turns into a gorilla to a very large extent. Well, gorillas and chimpanzees are closely related, but we are more closely related to chimps than gorillas are. What that means is that at the time that the ape split into the descendant species humans and chimps, you expect it to be something very similar to a gorilla and chimpanzee. And how much it would look like a chimpanzee would depend on how big it was. If it was pretty big, it would look more like a gorilla. If it was smaller, it would look more like a chimp. Well, all the Australopithecine bones, the females are exactly the same size as the female chimpanzee.
Hmm.
Or actually very slightly smaller.
When you say similar, you're talking about rigorous analysis of DNA, and this isn't just you sort of thinking about this. This has lots of predicates that have been established over decades.
This is not just morphology, and it's not just the body shapes and size and all the things. This really goes to the DNA.
Yeah, I mean, there are three major sources of evidence here. One is the DNA. So beginning in 1984, we had a reversal of our expectation thrown at us by the data. Everyone expected.
Oh, how interesting.
a bit of a nuisance, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, yes, exactly. It was discombobulating, and some people, you know, there are a few holdouts that still haven't accepted it. But, you know, you look at chimpanzees and gorillas, and then you look at ourselves, and everyone says, well, it's perfectly obvious. Chimps and gorillas look like each other in, you know, quite minute details, so they must be closely related to each other. And we're the outgroup.
As compared to us, yeah.
As compared to us. It's not true. It turns out we are more closely related to chimps than gorillas are.
Mm.
So that's the first point of evidence. Now, that was 1984 with DNA, and the experiments had methodological flaws that people critiqued, and so there was a good scientific process of saying, no, that's not good enough, so they're repeated by a skeptic, and then, whoops, it turns out that the same results hold. And then people say, well, wait a minute, you can't look at the whole DNA. The entire DNA complement in the cell, let's look at it gene by gene and work it out. Well, when I last reviewed the data, looked at the reviews, 14 nuclear DNA genes had been sequenced and the entire mitochondrial genome. One gene favors the gorilla-chimp similarity, the rest favor the chimp-human similarity.
Mm.
And the evidence as summarized by Mary Ellen Ruvalo, who has done all sorts of careful mathematical analysis, is that the chances of us having this wrong now are less than 1 in 10,000. I mean, essentially, this is as good scientific evidence as you can get.
So we're going to stipulate to the DNA part.
So, exactly. So, whoa, what does it mean that we are more closely related to chimps than gorillas are? Well, given the fact that chimps and gorillas look so like each other, what it means is that the ancestor of chimps and humans should have looked very much like the chimpanzee gorilla form of animal. And then we take the morphological evidence from the fossils and we say, well, they were about the same size as a chimp probably. And it was in the chimpanzee gorilla mold of a kind of animal. I think it would have looked very much like a chimpanzee. Literally, probably, you know, black-haired and walking on its knuckles and its head very much similar.
I have to say, I live in the South and have for over 20 years now, and there are a lot of people who are very uncomfortable with the scientific evidence that says this. And for me, there is a sense of denial in this. How do you, a person who looks at chimpanzee culture, an anthropologist, how do you speak kindly to people who cannot see this?
I've got a friend who is a Protestant missionary, fundamentalist, in Uganda. And it's kind of friendship that supersedes enormous differences in overall belief. And I knew perfectly well that he did not accept the evolutionary story. But because he was a friend, I asked him to read the chapter in my book, Demonic Males, about the evolutionary relationship. He went away and read it, and he said, wow, I didn't realize what the evidence was. You've got to accept it. It's dramatic, but the fact is that when you look at the fossils, when you go back to about 2 million years, then you're looking at something which is basically human. They're about the same size as us. Their brains are a little bit smaller, but their faces were similar. I mean, you dress them up in a business suit and have them walking down the main street of your local city, and no one would give it much of a thought. But just before 2 million years ago, you get into the species you were just talking about, Lucy, the Australopithecines. Now, they were apes. They were apes in terms of their brain size. They were apes in terms of their body size, you know, these smaller females. They were apes in terms of their guts, great big guts, because they were processing lots of food. We know from those fossils that we've got an ape ancestry in our past. We've known it since 1924, when those fossils were first discovered. We do find it very difficult to accept, but I think if one looks at the evidence, you have to say to yourself, something fascinating has gone on here. And if you are the sort of person that is going to look at the hand of God, then you have to say, God did something to produce humans in this particular way.
This is Richard Wrangham. We're going to be back in just a moment, Bill Russell and I, to explore many of these ideas that are so intriguing. This is The Paula Gordon Show. Please be with us when we return.